Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? I don't know the answer to that question, but I was going to ask, did you get my thing that says call in or listen? Did you get something that says I sent it out too early, I think. I'm just learning how to do this. I'm on my phone. Oh, but yes, because the show started, and the show was supposed to start at 6, but I put 5:30 to get everybody in, so the show is actually live, I think, right now. But wait a minute, let me mute. Okay, you can't hear me on the regular no more, right? On the computer? And you're not supposed to be able to. Oh, and maybe you're going through my computer. Anyway, I'm just calling to see if you got the message for me that says dial in. I don't. Who's asking? That was last week. Yes. Huh? I don't. It's supposed to start. Yeah, I sent that message. I didn't know I could send the message exactly at 6 o'clock. I thought that it would automatically send it out when the show started, but it sent it out right there. Six. Well, your time 3. Or just listen. I think you should be able to listen. But there's a call-in number. So you can listen without calling in. Well, this time they're all calling in through the show, supposedly, so hopefully you can hear everybody. It says call connected. Oh, because you're on the cell phone. Anyway, let me go because I figured this out. Bye. Vivian. Can you turn the heater thing off?
Hello?
Yeah, Ron.
You hear me?
Are you there? Yes, I can hear you now. I know what it is. I mean, I know what I just did.
It was your fault.
Whatever. But everybody can hear you talking right now, so okay, because you're live.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, I did the same thing I did before, so I didn't do anything different.
Says you're on here, but it had a different box, and I just checked the mic box, and your voice came up. So now I know when the other
Okay,
phone had where to
so
do
it was on your end.
it. Oh my God. Okay, Ron, it's over.
But I still couldn't do it through the iPad. I'm using my cell phone. And
Yeah,
you're
but
breaking up, by the way.
I am.
Yeah. It's very choppy.
It is.
Is anybody else on?
Not that I can see right now.
Let me put you on speaker and see if that makes a difference. Hang on. You there?
Yes.
Okay. You hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay.
I did. This lady with a British accent says to wait to join the show. Well, that's because I got
Yeah.
you on as a caller in. I don't know why you weren't able to come in as a guest.
I have no idea, but that's not up to me to figure that out. So the show is live right now? I need to figure out how to do it on my iPad or my. I should be able to call from my iPad, but then it was saying that I needed to use Firefox or Chrome. And so when I went to download Firefox or Chrome, which I think it's
Right.
already on there, but I tried to download the app, the Firefox, and it asked me for my iTunes password, and I tried it three times because I don't remember the iTunes password ever. And it locked me out, and then it said, "Do you want to reset it?" So then I said yes, and then it was asking me for some other password, which I tried three times and I didn't remember. It's too many passwords. And then what happens is the people from Gainesville sometimes they put in their own passwords for me because it's kind of their phone. So,
How
like
could
for instance, in one of the things they put baseball as the password, but they put a capital B. And instead of an A, they put an ampersand. And then instead of an E, they put a number 3, and then a lowercase b, and then an ampersand. You know, how am I supposed to remember all this?
so what's the weather there?
So, huh?
What's the weather like there?
Cloudy, and it's going to get down to. Well, originally it was going to get down to 35, but now they're saying 41. But I drove to Georgia today.
Oh, you did? Where'd you go?
Savannah. Now I know why Donald Trump is leading in the polls. I have never seen so many rednecks in my life. Oh, no, I didn't go to Savannah. What am I talking about? I went to, what's the name of that town? It's not Macon, it's Valdosta. Oh my God. I hope nobody from Valdosta is listening.
I'm sure they'll call her and tell talk to you.
I don't care what I say. But yeah, now I know why Donald Trump is leading in the polls.
So everybody should be calling you. 53.
David,
Yes.
just so you know, when you talk, it's very
Yeah.
choppy. You break up, it's like every 2 words, I can only hear one out of every 2 words.
Well, how about now? You're better now?
I think so. Can you hear me okay without breaking up, without me breaking up?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I think you're okay now.
Okay.
But it sounds kind of weird.
What do you mean? Sounds like a barrel or something. A barrel.
Read an entire sentence or something and see if I can hear you clearly.
A program dealing with family lifestyle, current events as discussed by men from across the United States. These issues may deal with mentoring our young men. Huh?
There's something, it's not that you're breaking up, there's something, and I'm not sure how to describe it, but I have a hard time understanding some of your words. So it might be your microphone. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. But I hear you, and you're not breaking up, but I have a hard time understanding some of your words.
What about now?
Read it again.
That better? A program dealing with family, lifestyle, current events as discussed by men from across the United States. Is that better?
Much better. What do you do?
I went from my microphone to my computer.
Oh, much, much better.
Okay.
But it should be the other way around, right?
You would think.
You would think that the microphones are better than the computer,
And you would think.
but not in this case.
No.
Is anybody else on yet, or are we the only two so far?
Doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. I mean, I like it tells me you're on. Oh, you know what? That's because you came in through a different route. Let me tell them if they can't come in through this route, how to get in to me.
Eating some bite-sized crackers from Trader Joe's.
All that noise for eating some crackers? Wait, we have 2 minutes where everybody's supposed to be home, so.
Nobody's on?
Doesn't look like it, but I just sent them to you starting at 5 or 5:30, and it says 5:30. Oh.
Maybe they're all having problems like I did.
Yeah, but I sent them the call-in number. Whoops, wait a minute. I'm trying to do the whole first.
These crackers are made in Canada.
Okay, so Harold just sent me a message. What time? Starting at 5 or 5:30? He says 5:30. I told him now.
Okay, it's 6.
Yeah. But right now, you're the only one that's in. The others are not the kind of food. It says invitation cut out, but you have.
You're breaking up again, Dave.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking on the. Okay. Better?
Yeah. Were you on the mic again?
Hey, this is Frank. David?
Yeah.
Can
yes,
you
sir.
Hear me?
I can.
Okay.
Ron, are you still there?
I'm here. Hey, Frank.
Okay.
Hey, hi, Ron.
How are you?
Okay, so you're the only two that are in right now. At least I know we can get you guys in now. This is not the portal you're supposed to be coming in. Yeah, I just lost Frank.
Yeah, and you're still breaking up for some reason.
But I'm back on the... So, wow.
Okay, now you're okay. But just a second ago, were you on the mic?
No, but the mic is right next to me. So, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear now.
Okay, so I turned the mic off.
Yeah, you should return those mics.
Maybe just...
No comments.
Don't make any, please.
You know, on the iPad, it says that the radio show is 2 hours.
Say what?
It says that the show is 2 hours.
Oh, I put in there 2 hours.
Okay.
What happened to Frank? I lost him.
I don't know. You know, we probably should have had a dress rehearsal.
Thanks, Ron. Okay. Somebody just came in, but I lost them. Why do they keep dropping out? Wow. Yes, Frank again. It's Frank.
Yes.
Okay. Was that me that dropped you out, or did something else happen?
I think the system is dropping me off. As soon as I, but anyway, I tried to call in on that number, and it was busy. So just for information. But it looks like I'm steady right now online. No pictures with this one, right? Is that correct?
Not at the moment. There is a way to do it, but they're working on it through.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But I know others are trying to get in, I think they call their number for them. So, but I think we could just get started. We got you and Ron. Ron, you still there? Ron.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of noise, and I'm having a hard time hearing.
That may have been me. I had a bag. I was moving. I'll try being quiet.
Can you hear me now? Are you hearing okay?
I can hear you okay.
Okay, good. I want to start with last week's talk. Media and talk about entertainers and stuff and how much you can like them, but kids are doing that to another people they don't even know. So they're building friendships with people they know, but they're also building enemies with people they don't know. And I think that's kind of dangerous. What do you think? What do you think, Ron?
I'm sorry, David, but I missed almost the entire thing that you said up to the very end. There was some noise going on, and I wasn't able to hear until the very end.
Okay, I was talking about...
All I heard was something... Okay.
I was talking about last week's show and the kids that were on last week, and that, to me, in social media, that a lot of kids are using it to bring down others that they don't even know. They're saying... So and so, did you see that? Or this guy can't play basketball? Or he, you know, when people put up videos and stuff on social media, that they are using it as a way to bring, you know, how when kids feel that the other child is better or something,
like ridiculing, like ridiculing somebody. Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's definitely. I think it definitely makes it easier to make fun or ridicule someone because there's like an extra degree of separation, and it's not the same as it used to be when there was, you know, no social media or whatever. When you made fun of someone, it was directly at their face or to a friend or somebody, and now it's it's just in a totally different context, and there's a degree of separation, and I think that that enables the kids, you know, to use that to their advantage if they want to make fun of someone, or which I'm not saying is right, but I think it just makes it easier for them to do that.
Harold, are you on? Is that you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you hear the question, and do you have any comments?
Yeah, I'm actually in Texas with my family, and I was talking to my son just a second ago, and I asked him, do you think that social media is degrading or putting down on someone? He said, yes, it's another form of bullying. As Ron said, that they hide behind social media to act out some aggression that they have or to ridicule, and you can see it in all forms, from celebrities to the nobodies. Everybody uses social media in some aspects to hide behind their true feelings towards one another, dislike or like.
All right. So where do you think that's going? I mean, right now, when we were kids, I think when we had our groups and stuff, you didn't like anybody or something, you stayed away from them, you didn't talk about them. Now, kids are using social media to get in each other's face to say what they don't like about them. And I think, I'm not sure where you think that's going. Anybody got any comments? I see Frank is trying to get back in again. Back on. There he is. So I don't know where that's going, because if you live 2 miles away from me and I'm telling me that your basketball is not the greatest thing I've ever seen, where do you think that that's direction is going, do you think that's, of course, you're hurting the person that you're talking about, but let's talk about how... Ron.
Yeah, you broke up there again at the end, so I didn't hear the question.
Well, David, I would say most times once you get ridiculed or bullied on social media, it leads to an altercation. Many times you look on social media and you see the fight. It's all because of something someone said on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So it's leading our young people to be more defensive, and then it's also leading them to committing suicide and being aggressive. Because, you know, some kids can't handle, as we were growing up, handle that face-to-face altercation, and they get into these social media groups, and they're, like David said, they got 1,100 friends who are now not good in basketball, not dressing well, hair's not done, and they take that to a whole nother level of depression, not feeling accepted, and then you end up with suicides, and then you end up with mass killing.
Which we've seen a little bit. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's a lot of pressure for kids to be dealing with because, you know, back in my days, you know, I only had a close-knit circle of friends and, you know, maybe you could count them in two hands. But now with you know, kids having 500, 800, 1,000 friends on Facebook, it's like you said, Harold, I mean, the pressure for them is incredible, and I think it does lead to psychological problems and depression and maybe even suicide, like you said. I think that is a problem.
Frank, are you there? I think he's there. I don't know if he can hear us. So what do you think?
I can hear you.
Or do we have any? Or is social media out of our head? If there's people on who want to call in and get into the conversation, number is 646-668-8740. So if anyone wants to call in, once again, 646-668-8740. But Frank, what do you think about social media and that direction? And my quest is, what is the adult's responsibility, or has social media gone out of our parenting time? Frank, you want to comment on that? Okay. What about?
Hello.
Yeah. Mr. Wiggins.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hello. We're talking about, last week we talked with some young kids about I think we as adults might have lost control over monitoring our kids through social media. I mean, it's on their phone. If we got their phones, now we're so in tune to children having their phones. We can't stop it. But the stuff they're getting through that phone is causing all kinds of issues because now kids can harass others through that and kind of stand behind the screen. So my question is, do we have, as adults, some responsibility for that? As men, can we help monitor our kids so that they're not going through any of this kind of thing? Because people have, like Ron said, committed suicide. They feel, you know, down. And it seems like a lot of that going on. If you look in your kid's phones, you'll see somebody talking about somebody, or he's playing some basketball, or he's his clothes are raggedy. So I don't know. There used to be a time when we could talk about those things, and I think the only thing we have left now is bringing up points that we don't even know what to say to our kids. Any comments from you?
Yes, you're talking about social media, right?
Yes.
You know, David, we're going through a difficult change, and I was just dealing with that with my daughter. and I was telling her, I said, listen, put the phone down and you talk to me. And she wanted to communicate with some very important family issue by texting me. And I was totally offended. You know, social media is a change for us. It's like going from typewriters to computers, me being a part of a different generation. But the thing is, I've got to adjust to that. I don't really know how to. Now, if they were younger, I would probably take the phone and discipline them that way. But they're older, and it's kind of hard to parent an adult. She's an adult and trying to talk to me on the phone by texting. What do you think about that?
Do you think it's... Ron, what are your thoughts on that, Steve?
No, I'm in total agreement that, you know, the face-to-face communication is slowly disappearing. But, you know, I would even take it a step further and say that it's not just the young kids or the teenagers, but us adults, too. I mean, I get in an elevator with five or six adults, and guess what? Everybody, including me, immediately takes out their phone and starts either texting or looking at Facebook, and nobody says hello, nobody says good morning, and I see that happen every single day at work. So I say that it's, you know, it's a widespread problem, and it's not just the kids. You know, we're culprits in this too.
I agree, it's a widespread problem, but there's no way to manage adults, but we have to. Yeah, since the government wants to manage them for us. So, and as adults, I'm looking for to give me some direction on, have we lost that? Is it still there? Can we control it? What is it that we're
David, as a parent with two teenage kids, my wife does it more than I do in terms of looking at their phones, checking their text messages. Now, we hadn't got into their Snapchats and those type of things, but we do monitor. So parents should be monitoring on a weekly or maybe daily basis what their kids are doing on their cell phones, their smartphones, on their Instagrams, on their Twitter, on their chat. So we hadn't lost it. We just need to take a more proactive approach of being engaged with our kids to find out what they're doing, who they're communicating with, so that, you know, once we get to the issue of bullying or some type of threats on social media, we can address it. So we shouldn't let the problem come to us. We should go to the problem.
All right. One of the things that I know a friend of mine did was looked at his son's phone and found an adult page on his son's phone, and the son said he was contacted and asked to put in his email and phone number like that, and then they just kept emailing him. Now, of course, I don't believe that. I believe they asked you have to, if you're 15 years old, you know what kind of site that is, but that is one thing that I think we're going to have to really start trying to control, are these adult sites trying to reach our kids, our sons when they're, and our daughters when they're teenagers, just saying, just put in your email address and you can start getting these emails. We all know that that might be attractive to some of our kids, but unless we are involved in their every day and looking at what they're doing, I think something that's going to come prevalent more as we move along farther in the future. I don't know how, other than monitoring and telling our kids good things about and what they're supposed to be doing, we can monitor that piece. Anyone got any comments on that?
I think the onus is on the parents because, you know, these websites, They do have, you know, the warnings on there, and then, you know, they say you need to be at least 18 years old And then, you know, if you go in there and you're not 18, but you lie about your age, you know, there's I don't think there's much that can be done about that. So I think it's up to the parents to be able to curtail that even before it happens. And like you said, you know, the parents need to be talking to the kids more about this. But I don't think they're doing it because life takes over, and I don't think men are doing it because they're so busy with life.
Right. All right. So let's move on. I want to talk about men and women and altercations. I recently saw a woman that was mad at her boyfriend, so she just started screaming at him and stuff, and then walked up and slapped him. Now, if he did the reverse, he'd be in jail. And I think our society has gone to men being the victims of women when they get mad. And I'm not saying it happens all the time and men should do anything about it. But my question is, what should men do about this issue? I know it's going to get where women are now have the authority to call police, but a man really can't call the police and say a woman's hitting me because they don't do anything about it. But they do it if he turned around and struck her back, because we have always, as men, we are told if you get hit, you should hit back, but you're not supposed to hit a woman back. But a lot of these women now are getting to be as strong and as rowdy as men can be, and they're fighting the men. So there's going to have to be an issue down the line. But what do you tell a young man that has this issue that comes and says, my wife keeps hitting me? What is it that we can tell young men about this act? What about
My thing is this, David. I'm a little bit torn. You know, and growing up, we were always taught not to hit or put our hands on women. But as you mentioned, in today's society, women are becoming a little bit more aggressive, and they get into this independent thing where, well, I don't need a man to do this, I don't need a man to do that, and they get more aggressive. But if you put your hands on a man and he is actively trying to move away, you got a problem. I'm not saying it's a right to hit a woman, but she should understand that not too many men are going to go and just let you continue to hit on them.
Right.
So
right.
They should be prepared for the consequences. Now, he should do everything in his power to try to de-escalate the situation, but if she's aggressive and she constantly comes at them, eventually a man is going to defend himself.
I think if a woman is hitting a man and they're in a relationship, I think they've got big issues that they need to be dealing with that perhaps would entail going to a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a behavioral psychologist, because sometimes arguments get heated and people lose their cool. But if it happens consistently, then I think that's a bigger problem that needs to be addressed in other ways. But I'm not so sure that, you know, if a woman hits a man, and let's say that it happens over and over again, I'm not so sure that the man cannot call the police and it be a domestic violence case. Are you sure that men cannot do that? I think they can.
But you're saying over and over again. What if you're walking down the street and you're shopping and some lady gets mad at you because you picked up the thing she wanted and slapped you? What I saw a video of a man in a store, and he was talking and ordering, and she said he butted in front of her and was cussing her and stuff, and she slapped him. Now,
and if he slaps her back, does he get in trouble?
It's my understanding that, yes, most men will get in trouble for that.
I think both of them will get arrested for assault.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair for the man to get in trouble and the woman get away with it.
But that's typically the way society is set up, is that the second reaction is the one that always gets caught.
That's true.
If a woman hits me and then I hit her back, it's always more on me because I'm the responder. And it's just like in football or basketball or any sports you see, the referee always gets the second guy.
Yeah, you have a point there.
Mr. Wiggins, are you in on this conversation?
Yes, I am. I agree with you, what you just said. It's always the second guy. And, you know, when it comes to a male and a female having a physical altercation, I grew up in a family where I saw my father hit my mother one time, and I gained a tremendous dislike for my father watching that happen, and I vowed I'd never hit a woman, and I have not hit a woman to this day, and I'm in my 60s.
Wiggins, what if you're shopping in the store and a woman gets and says you took her the last thing during Black Friday night, and she slapped you really hard? A woman who can wrestle with you. What would you do?
I'm going to defend myself, David. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to defend myself, and I can't say I'm going to turn the cheek because I'm not there yet.
Okay. I think this is a spot I'd like to get Harold in on, because Harold is a minister. And so I would like to get more of your opinion, because we know what religion teaches, that we should not hit a woman, but that was during the time when women weren't hitting men. But now we've changed a little bit. And there's a lot of religious issues that are changing through time. So let's discuss that from a religious point of view. What are we doing? What is your opinion, Harold?
Well, I don't think that part is changing, to honor women, honor the fairer sex. But for the most part, you know, that's not changing. But it does not speak of a man hitting a woman or violence. It does say violence begets violence. But like Mr. Wiggins says, you have to turn the other cheek. But you have to make sure that you have restraint enough to know that it's just something that's temporary, it's not personal. So we have to, as religious leaders and people of faith, have hope that our practices will come into play when that situation arises.
And David, you said, and let me preface this as well. You said, I was at a grocery store, and a woman came up and hit me, slapped me, correct?
Yes.
Now, I don't have a relationship with this person. Is that correct?
No, you don't.
See, that's where it's a thin line right there. It's a thin line, very thin line. I'm under attack, physical, spiritual, verbal, different levels of attack. I don't know if that is spiritual attack, verbal, or physical. And I haven't grown to the point, being a Christian, and I am a firm believer that men should not hit women from a spiritual standpoint. But the thing is, in that scenario you just painted, there are a lot of spirits out there that I'll take out. I don't deal with demons lightly.
Okay. If you want to join.
And Mr. Wiggins, sometimes spiritual warfare calls for immediate action.
Exactly.
if it happened to me, I was sitting here thinking how I would react, a total stranger coming up to me and hitting me or slapping me, and I think the way that I would react is I would be in so big a shock that I probably wouldn't hit back, But I would attack her using words. I would attack her, you know, calling her, you know, the worst things that you could think of. And, you know, because I don't think I would just stand back and put up with it and walk away as if nothing happened. I don't think that would be my reaction. So I would attack. I would attack, but it would be more on a verbal front than a physical, I think.
I don't know how words are going to hurt you like a slap will.
Trust me. Some words can hurt more than physical pain.
Not in that situation, though, I don't think. I think that a person who was rude enough to come up to you on Black Friday or Saturday, whatever they want to call it, and because you picked the last gift that they wanted and are arguing with you and then slap you, that's kind of open to me for some rebuttal or recourse. I'm not sure that cussing me out is going to make me, you know, I don't know.
Well, let me put it this way. I think that would be my first reaction, but then that could always escalate, you know, trying to restrain her possibly, or if she continues to hit me, you know, I'm going to have to do something. I can't just, you know, let somebody physically attack me and not, you know, as everybody else said, not sit back and do nothing, you know.
Well, I don't think, you know, the question is, what would you tell your young son who is 18, 19, or 21, married, and comes and tells you his wife, he's deadly in love with her, but she beats him all the time, or she hits him all the time.
To go see a therapist. That's what I would tell him.
Okay. But go ahead, Harold.
I'm sitting, my 15-year-old son is listening to the program as well. And it's interesting that he is like, no, you know, and he said it just like this, grow some balls, you know, set the standard where that woman will not continue to hit you. Let them know that it's not tolerated. And as a young man, know that first, your first response is not to hit a woman, not to put your hands on a woman, but then also protect yourself and then let them know that, hey, this ain't going to keep happening.
All right. I think that's
the more sense. And you know something, and David, to add to what that young man said, my wife and I had the opportunity to run, and when I say run, her as a director and me as a board member, a shelter for battered women and children. And we were managing a facility where battered women and children could come in, but we saw battered men come in. I mean,
wow.
There are some women out here that are physical and atrocious. I mean, and you can't look at the person, male or female, you got to look at the spirit in that person. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places, and it can come in male or female. I saw some violent women, man. I mean, I saw some women that'll cut you three ways, long, deep, and continuous.
All right.
That's shocking for me to hear that. I would have never thought that.
Yeah, well, you need to come to Michigan, close to Michigan, Flint, Michigan, buddy, or you can either come to 79th Street in Miami or Liberty City.
Since we're talking about shopping and Black Friday, all those places that are starting your sales today, I was listening on the radio, and I understand, and I went to see and talk to Toys R Us. They're actually releasing a doll that has over, I think, 80 complete sentences that will talk back to the child that owns the doll. But what happens is that this is all through Wi-Fi, through your home Wi-Fi or wherever you are. And it goes, when the child is talking to the doll, all those comments are held through a computer at the host designer or manufacturer so that they can hear what kids are saying to the dolls so that they can improve on it. So Model 2 would be better than Model 1. It probably has 150 sensors. But my question and my understanding is if hackers can actually hack in to the Wi-Fi, and they did a doll like that in Europe, and they found hackers hacking into the Wi-Fi, and the dolls are saying more than they want the dolls to say. How do you feel about your young daughter receiving one of these toys that are going to be out where the doll is now able to respond to the child's questions and give back answers, but that there's somebody getting your child's words and messages and holding them just to listen to them so that they can improve? I mean, nobody has permission to do this. It's just the way it is right now because this is the first time out. There are no laws and everything. So now, how do you feel about a company eavesdropping on your kids through this method? Harold, I know you have younger kids. I don't know how, you know. What do you
think? Oh, yeah. My youngest is 15, so we've been past the doll stage for a long time. And actually, that type of response, it takes away from their creativity and their imagination. If you have a doll that's sitting there and somebody's listening to their thoughts and their thought processes, trying to improve to something else, it takes away from their imagination. I would not, would not want to have a child talking to a doll in response the way an adult will respond. And then for the next generation, all the things they deal with is improved. So you have to leave something to the imagination of that child's imagination, playing with the doll. And, most girls, when they play with dolls, it's their baby, they're combing their hair, they're feeding it. But you don't want that to go to the next level.
Yeah. But what happens when all the little girls have the dolls that talk back to them and your daughter doesn't and that's what you want? And this is for anyone, how are you going to explain to your child that you don't want that going on? Or is it something that we need to regulate or stop these companies from getting our thoughts of our children and holding on to them? Because right now, this Christmas, a lot of those dolls will be out there once once the little girl down the street has one, every girl in the neighborhood is going to want a doll that could talk back to her to be her friend. It's just normal. You always want the best, finest things that, and people want to give these things to their children. And these are popular dolls that are coming out. I forget the doll. What is the number one doll that's been around for years and years and years? Anybody?
Barbie.
Pardon me? Would you say? I think that was Ron.
Barbie?
Yeah, actually, she's coming out with 80 sentences that she understands and can ask for, or more, because they can keep updating because now it's on Wi-Fi. They can go in and do upgrades to the doll, keep going and keep going. Well, they're not the only ones who can do that. Hackers can get in there and do that too. So to me, we're opening up a Pandora's box, but I just want to have some conversation because in my opinion, if I had a little girl, I'm not sure I would want her to have one of these toys until they fixed it out. It's like Apple, they keep coming up with these fixes to stop, all this hacking and stuff, but it's a possibility. So that's coming out this Christmas. Mr. Wiggins, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. That's a very, very deep question. I don't know how to respond to that. Being very truthful with you, I don't know. I just don't like dolls talking back. This technology has gone to another level, David. I've never seen anything like that.
I know. Frank, are you listening? Are you able to comment?
Yes. Yeah, I was going to just tell you that we better catch up. Because what's happening now, that's expected, all right? We have telephones that you can communicate with the telephone. And so the technology just like signals for mapping. That technology is in our phones right now, and that technology to communicate and get smarter every day. And so you don't have to buy your daughter that particular doll, but she's going to get that doll one day, you know, depending on whether you give it to her or she becomes old enough that she's going to purchase it herself. So I don't think you could be frightened of these things. I think what you have to do is change our styles and change the education that we provide to the child and set the boundaries and the limits. But yes, everything is going to communicate. You don't even have to, you can talk to a phone and say, please dial Monroe, and it's going to come out and tell you what Monroe do you want to dial. You know, so that should be expected. We just got to work with it. I mean, the world's not going to stop. We're not going to put any legislation out. Dial makers are going to continue to make these type of products. And we've got to make sure the child can separate reality from, you know, playland as well.
It sounds like parenting is going to become more difficult in terms of social media and those types of things that are now going to come out. Because I can imagine when we were growing up, there were things that scared our parents. I'm not sure what they were. But I think that parenting is becoming much more difficult. Fathering is going to be a whole different venue, and because you now have to keep up with your child in so many different ways, girls
well,
and boys.
Yeah, let me just tell you, I have a grandson that's 1 year old, and I have a grandson that's 2 year old. The 2 year old can operate a mobile telephone as well or better than you can as an adult, and so that mobile telephones now have on the movies, it has on all the kids' shows. So that's what you've got to work with. They're starting off at 1 year old, getting the fundamentals down on operating these systems.
And I also have a three-year-old grandson, and I let him play on my iPad. And as you know, I have my own apps on my iPad, and I tell him, Isaiah, don't mess with these. Only play with yours. So he understands his. Now, he is very, very technical savvy with that iPad. And I was amazed. Now, I'm thinking about getting him an iPad for Christmas and add educational things on that iPad. What do you guys think about that?
I'm thinking the iPad, because there are some other pads that are less than $100 that I think a kid needs to start on. iPads are very expensive, and that's a nice gift for them. There are those $100 tablets I think you should start on. So, but I also think that kids are going to have iPads and computers in school that they do need to stay ahead of the game, and we should try to get them the technology they need to keep them ahead of the game. What were your thoughts, Ron? What are your thoughts?
I don't see anything wrong with getting a young kid an iPad. And going back to what you were saying earlier, David, with the doll and the technology. What bothers me about that is that if it's true that this company is getting away with recording, you know, the conversations that kids are having with the dolls without the parents' consent, I just find that shocking and hard to believe that they can do that and that they can get away with it. But, you know, it's like Harold said, or Frank, rather, it's no different than, you know, talking to your smartphone and your smartphone talking back. And as far as I'm aware, I think our conversations can be recorded, our text messages, our phone conversations. So, you know, it's technology has taken us to a different level, and I think we have to embrace it, because if not, we need to jump on the bandwagon and try to try to hang on for dear life because it's moving very fast. And, you know, and like everything, there's pros and cons.
All right. So the things I would be concerned about is that anytime you have connectivity to the internet, you have a possibility of an individual listening into your private moments, just because you have that electronic connectivity to one's house or to one's equipment. So, you know, theoretically, a bad person could put a camera in there and physically be taking movie pictures of whatever they desire to take movie pictures. That's the type of things I think that parents have to be better astute and have to be on the guard for these type of irregularities that are certainly going to come up. Because, you know, you can plant a microphone in a person's house and it's against the law if you don't have a warrant to do so. But when we use these electronic devices, we're often given that permission at the start of the program.
Yeah, this is like uncharted territories in some ways. So,
you know, before we used to pride ourselves in taking children or sending them to the library to open up a book and learn. But now, with computers in this age today, we've opened up the world. The technology has opened up the world here. You got access to the world.
And that's I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. You know, the 2-year-old started using the computer 1-year-old, but the reason why that person, and it has one of those inexpensive tablets, and it also had a pretty updated phone system that you can bring movies and cast it on the TV. So part of that is that they can look at these educational shows. The kid can, you know, a kid that's 1-year-old can count to 30 and knows all his colors. Where, you know, we were learning that possibly in kindergarten or something like that. So that's the type of thing that the internet is allowing and access to information is allowing. But we've also got to be careful of the people who would misuse it, you know, to hurt the child.
All right. As we move along through this holiday season, you know, kids getting all these different toys because computers are running everything. I recently was looking at the TV in a big box store, and they said, well, the TV is not a computer. So you have to have Wi-Fi in your house and everything to keep your TV going. So we are being surrounded by it. We might as well, I guess, learn to deal with it and learn how to monitor it and manage it so that our families can use it for the positive. I remember when we were young, these homes that were future homes that had all these electronics, and we went, wow, I can't wait to get my house like that. Well, the time is now, and now we're looking at all those possibilities that it's not as, it could be a negative, because how do you keep the hackers and stuff out of all this Wi-Fi now that they're building in these homes to where you can, I know I can sit in my office and look in my house. So I'm wondering how many people in the neighborhood are sitting in their homes looking in my house. It doesn't take much to learn how to do that. We only have a few minutes left on the show. And if you're listening in and you want to join our conversation, there is a number you can call, 646-668-8740, and join in, Mr. Sue, join in and give us your point of view on the conversation we're having. But I want to talk a little bit about and everyone has been talking about it, everyone's been doing it, and so I guess the terrorist in France is old conversation to a lot of people, but I want to hear about, because we know that we call it ISIS. The president calls it ISIL, which is the official name of the group. Is ISIL somehow through the time it has come to ISIS? Some people They're claiming, France, they're claiming, and most people are not aware that in Africa on the same day, there was the same thing happening. We didn't get a lot of comments about that. As a matter of fact, they went into one of the universities in Africa and shot up most of the students. We didn't hear a lot about that. We heard a lot about France. I don't know, is it that relationship with France? Is it that the press isn't covering? And I'm just asking the question, are we being told what's going on around the world accurately? Although I think, are we being told that we should, do you think we will be told in time if something like that is what happened in the United States? What are your comments on that?
Well, I personally think the media is selective in their reporting. What's going to get the most bang for their buck in their news day? And I think France, because of our relationship, got the most coverage from the news because of the bang for their station. As we talked about before, money is the root of everything and everything we do. And if it's getting them more ratings, more money, then they're going to publicize it more, they're going to illustrate it more, and they're going to talk about it more. And that's the same way with social media. The more it's lingering in social media, the more money people make up off of it.
What are your comments, Don?
Very eloquently said. You must be in the media. France has a relationship with the United States. It goes way back to World War II and before that. And an African city doesn't have the strong relationship that France has, especially Paris. And it's all about ratings. If you notice, this situation with ISIS was on dominating the news for a total week, and is still dominating the news. It's because of ratings. It's generating the ratings. And also, like I said before, we're going to be experiencing a spiritual war like this for a long time. For someone to walk up to you and ask you, are you a Christian? And then if you say yes, shoot you? I can't explain that. It's only one other way to explain it. It's a spiritual war. And we're going to experience this for a long time. Get ready.
Well, I understand it. And I understand, this is Frank, and I think that the first part of the question, the Africa versus French thing, I think that goes back to Black Lives Matter, okay, or don't matter. And the other thing is, I think that you know, in difference to this, is that France, people can identify better with France than the overall majority of our population in the United States, because that's a high culture city, similar to New York City and places like that. So there's a perception, I think, that this happens every day, and it does, in countries in the Middle East and in countries in Africa, and so what? All right? But again, I think that if you are really ticked off at someone, like some people are with us in the United States, that you'll go to any extent whatsoever to get them to make this a religious war. All right? And so if you got a person over there who's a peaceful person and he happens to be a Muslim or a Christian, and you can, it's like the lady hitting you in the store. I don't think that you respond to her in a violent way. Now, I'm 6 feet tall, and I'm an ex-fighter, and I basically think I can whoop anybody's butt. Okay, that's what I think. So I wouldn't hit the lady. I'd probably laugh and grab her and hold on to her, but I certainly wouldn't hit her because I couldn't perceive a lady hurting me. But if you do have a perception that's going to happen and you retaliate, then what you can do then is you can start a culture war going on. And I think that's what certain people in our countries, including some churches, including possibly the church that I, some people in the church that I belong to, would like to see happen. This is another crusade. And so I think that you have to deal with it on an isolated basis, and you can't throw everybody into the pot. And I think you've got to give more concern about other countries, such as the Middle East, such as South America, and such as Africa.
But I have a question. We said that, Don, you said that it was all about ratings. We're saying that we have a relationship with France. Well, my point of view is, don't we need to be more in tune to what ISIS is doing to let us know in the United States that this is a group that is aggressive and doesn't care where it goes to do what it has to do? I mean, cutting out the fact that it is in another country, no matter what the country is. It could have been in South America. It could have been in China or somewhere. But ISIS went and destroyed a whole university, killing all the students and everything. We don't know anything about that. We know all about France. So you're saying it's about ratings. Are you saying there's some countries that mean more to us than others? I think we are being negated by the press on what is actually going on nationally.
Well, let me say a couple other things. ISIS in Africa or ISIL in Asia can hand us our butts, okay? And they've done that before in Somalia and other places. So we're concerned about sending in people and putting them on the ground, because if we do that, it's going to get uglier than what you saw in France. The other thing I want to point out is France is a comparable country to us. In their minds, they're like me about fighting. They don't think of the United States as being number one. They think of themselves as being number one. And I can tell you that because I was a member of NATO, and I can tell you that France, for the most part, participates in NATO, except for the military option, which they go alone on that. And so we don't have coordinated attacks like we do in most NATO countries on our submarines and things like that, because France stands alone, all right? And so the other thing I'd like to point out, the way the French treat the Muslims in their country, for instance, against the law to wear a yarmulke if you're Jewish, or to wear a headscarf if you're Muslim, and they want everybody in that country to think of themselves as French. Remember the other day we talked about this fictitious principle that said there's only one school, there's no culture clubs. Well, that's the way France does their business. They're 50% unemployment among the Muslim youth in France, in around that city. So, personally, if you want to get a fight going on, you want to get people ugly, you want to have people tearing at each other, have high unemployment, have different cultures that you don't respect and don't understand, and I think you've got the recipe for them to come after you, or you to go after them.
Okay.
Now, what we're looking at, in my opinion, is we're looking at a culture of people, and that culture looking for a better way of life. So we in America are in a situation where we are trying to protect this way of life. Now, that same culture that's in Europe can also come to America. And what I'm saying is, it's a spiritual war that should be looked at not based upon ratings, but based upon reality.
That I agree.
So what's the reality?
The reality is the same thing that happened in Paris can happen in any city in America.
Is that taking into consideration that it already does happen, and the fact that people who are white and Afro-American and come in the universities and shoot up and kill 15 or 20 people? Is that similar?
Well, we just had it happen in South Carolina when that deranged young man walked into a black church. Now,
right.
that wasn't an ISIS or ISIL. That was a spirit that walked in there.
Yeah, it's hatred. It's hatred walking in and saying, hey, I'm going to take out a few of you people because I have the ability to do that because I can access the weaponry that I need to do that, and I hate you. And that's the same.
What criteria did he use? He used racism, and he used spiritual, religion.
Right. That's right. And so, I didn't want to stop you in your conversation, but the question is that are you in saying that if you let a Muslim person into the United States, that you could get a similar effect that you had just recently in France?
No. No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that. No. We should let all different religions into America because I'm not like Donald Trump. If that's the case, the Indians can say we need to go home.
I was just about to say that we are not original from here. And so we all should be kicked out at some point if that's the way that he wants to go.
Really?
But, you know, you have to take Donald Trump at just like a grain of salt is going to melt away when the water hits it.
So what happens when he becomes president?
I don't think he's becoming president.
Well, I just saw in the polls this morning that he's leading in a number of states, and I was telling David earlier, I'm up in North Florida right now, and I had the day off, and I took a little road trip to the southern Georgia, to a city that shall remain nameless. You know, that was an eye-opener to me because just the culture of the people there. Now I understand why somebody as ridiculous with ludicrous points of view as Donald Trump is
on, computer and the
in
and the
so many states.
Computer and the
hello.
Someone probably needs to go mute on their phone.
Right.
Yeah. So let me just extrapolate that a little bit. So you think it's plausible that Donald Trump could be the Republican candidate for president of the United States?
Unfortunately, yeah. I do.
And you think it's plausible that he could? Let me just tell you some stats that I was just looking at the other day. The stats had to do with Romney and Obama. And Obama, okay, because someone published a stat out that said that there were 263 million people in the United States that hated Obama, which was to insinuate that's the number of people that could vote. Well, the actual number of people can vote are like 235 million people, and the actual people that voted are something like 120 million people. So the voting amount of people that voted are 57.some% of the people in the United States.
Yeah, that's
States
usually
voted.
Yeah.
Okay. And 18 million people were prohibited from voting by individual states. So those additional 18 million people probably or could have been Democratic people, for Democrats, in other words. But the electoral votes that are required are 270. Romney got like 205, and of course, the incumbent president received like 300 and some electoral votes. So for me, it looked to me like the coalition of people in the Democratic Party made the difference. The coalition being people that let's say there are sexual orientations that's different than what we've had in the past. Minority, for instance, the minority population, Hispanics, voted like 70% for the Democratic Party. I expect that to even be higher this time. So let me just say, I think that he's appealing to people who could be accurately or inaccurately classified as racist. In other words, the warmongering. Somebody called him. One of the governors called him a carnival barker. But I think there is a pretty heavy amount of people in our population who are upset and political correctness. They don't want it, and they want to call whatever people by names and everything. And I think that relates to the conversation we were just talking about at the Middle Eastern problem as well. People improperly communicating with people. So that's my take on it. I mean, I think that if he becomes the nominee, that's a good thing for the Democratic Party. I've never spoken ill of the president or any of the candidates that are running for office, because I don't think you do that. Okay, but I do believe that if he is nominated, that I'm going to win some more money from my friends about the outcome of the election.
What I was trying to say, and I was trying to be politically correct, but to heck with political correctness. What I was trying to say is that the town that I went to was I had never seen so many rednecks in my life.
Oh yeah,
and I hate to use the word redneck, but you know these are uneducated Americans that just peripherally what's going on. In their country, they don't know what's going on in the world. But yet, you know, somebody like Donald Trump comes out with you know, his bulldog talk and, you know, oh, we're going to bomb them, you know. And that's what they love to hear. And that's why I'm afraid. And there's such a big part of the United States, unfortunately, that I think is like that. You know, if you take out all the big cities that are along the coast, you know, in New York, Miami, L.A., Chicago, San Francisco, all, you know, but you look at the interior of the United States, that's a lot of what you see.
And well, that's true, because I saw a piece on the news where they were in Mississippi, one of the poorest states in the United States, and the people were talking about they didn't want to accept Medicaid, they didn't want to accept handouts.
Welfare
because it was coming from the government. And the guy asked, well, would you rather be hungry and homeless than to receive handouts? And they was like, yes. And that's what, as you just mentioned, if we can take away those people who have the mindset of putting Donald Trump in place, you'll have a different outcome. But they're so stuck on his bully mentality, something that they call refreshing to hear that is not political, and they will grasp to anything.
I guarantee you that anybody with an IQ worth considering high is not going to vote for Donald Trump.
I would like to clear up that the Ron Staten is red hair and
but no freckles. What? And I have all my teeth. Thank you very much.
Well, anyway, let me just say this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me just say this with Donald. I think that Donald doesn't believe everything that he espouses, but I think that he does what he does to try to become the next president of the United States. And I don't think there's enough people in the United States that will accept his type of conduct that he's espousing to become the leader of our great country. So I would be highly surprised if that happens. And if it does happen, I also would suspect that we will have much difficulty.
I don't think there's enough people in the United States that...
All right. We got some feedback there, but we've come to our hour anyway. So those people that might be listening in, there was an opportunity to call in, but we'll be back again next Sunday at 6 o'clock, and let me say 6 o'clock Eastern time. on your, all you got in this time, I'll send you messages to get in next time. Again, thank you for listening, if you're listening, and thank you to all my panelists. Next week, we'll tell you who they are and where they're living and part of maybe the action. But anyway, it's been fun talking to everyone. We will talk to you again next week. Panelists, I will talk to you sometime during the week.
All right, everybody have a great week.
Bye. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Good night. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
All right. Take care. And thanks for listening.